how does a two-time national karate champ at age 10 become a published poet, collaborate with hip-hop royalty, and even grace the airwaves of Fox News? Find out in today's episode as we meet with the one and only SB The Anomaly.
Lady bosses, are you working even after putting the kids to bed but still not getting results?
Are you tired of spending money on ads that aren't getting engagement?
Do you feel burdened that you aren't fulfilling your purpose in life because you are so consumed with work?
I'm your host, Brooke Boltz. I'm an attorney and founder of Boltz Legal. I started my business and in 1 year was bringing in seven figures and am now bringing in multi-seven figures.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel Boltz, owner of Boltz Media. I've helped many businesses build their online presence and increase their revenue through digital marketing.
Want to hear how we did it?
We are here to help you achieve your goals personally, professionally, and spiritually.
So kick off your high heels, sit back, and let's ignite that passion.
We're Miss Biz, where we're putting the miss in biz.
Let's get biz done.
Well, I am so excited today. Today's episode is a very special episode. We have the one and the only SB The Anomaly.
How you doing?
Thank you so much for being here today. When I first met SB, he was teaching hip hop and my daughter was taking ballet next door. And the way that SB worked with all of the children was truly outstanding. And then years later, we met up again at the gym.
Yes.
And we've been friends ever since. And it's been so beautiful just to see SB rise to the level that he is at today. All of his accomplishments are incredibly impressive. We could probably spend a whole 48 hours going over everything this man has done in his life. But we are so excited and we thank you for making time for us today.
Oh, my pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me. Love the energy, love the vibe. Let's do it.
The energy is so important. So your background, it's incredibly diverse, from touring with KSR-1 to being a two-time national champion in karate by the age of 10. In your entrepreneurial journey, what is one extreme marketing activity that you've done? Or if you haven't done one yet, what is one that you plan to do?
For me, I just in person, because, you know, social media is a great outlet because you can, you know, put a post up, you can boost posts, things of that nature. But the word of mouth is very powerful. So realistically, anytime I do a motivational speaking seminar or I'm hosting a class, like you described earlier, I actually just did one like an hour ago, or whether I'm just performing, you know, that really is the most diverse form of it because so many different entities come, people are invited to see it, and it's really the audience, right? If you get someone who is really connected or you have an ability or skill set that draws people to you, they're gonna tell all their people, and it's not really the message, it's more so the messenger. So if someone of high quality and value sees you perform, sees your podcast, sees your show, I guess, kind of like an investor, if you will. Someone has that kind of power behind them and they say, hey, you need to hire this person, you need to get this person. So it's really about putting yourself in front of the correct people. A lot of people don't really know who their audience is, or are rather. Like, they know what they want to do, they know what the skill set is, but they don't really know where to put that in front of or who to put that in front of. So I'm pretty good at taking my skill sets and making sure the right people see it, whether it's in a large venue of thousands of people, or even if it's in an intimate setting, but within that intimate setting, the right people are there, whether that's in New York, whether that's in Orlando, and I do a lot of them. I mean, they're very sporadic. I'm always doing something. It's not really one in specific, but that's really what gets me to different levels in terms of connections and things of that nature. Like, I could delete my social media right now and it really wouldn't matter, because the right people know who I am and they're gonna keep me connected to everything that I do.
I love that. I have seen you do some incredible things. I think one of the last, most recent big things I saw you do was where you danced like Michael Jackson for like a Halloween event.
Yeah, that was a great time. Yeah, I was Michael Jackson. We did that in Kissimmee and Old Town with this school that I teach at, which I teach at different schools, but the primary focus of mine that I do residually is performing at Ignite Performing Arts Center in Kissimmee. And we did that for the duration of October. And I was Michael. Yeah, we did Thriller and, you know, dressed up like a zombie. It was like a Walking Dead slash like hip hop.
It was amazing. So cool.
Thank you. It was a great time. Again, even in that, certain people came to that show that plugged me into everything that I'm doing now, dance-wise. So it's all about just being around the right people. Of course, social media is really important. You know, there's a lot of great things with social media, analytics, things of that nature. But if you're not going out and tapping into it as an artist, per se, as an artist, then you're gonna miss an opportunity for sure. And that's in sales too, whether it's sales or whether it's artistry. You know, you want to kind of get out there, and because I'm in that realm and those are my genres, I have to physically be in front of the right people. It's very important.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and one thing that I noticed with you is you, in conjunction to being in the right spot at the right time, you have this natural ability to just resonate with your audience.
Oh, thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about how, about your creative process and how you relate to people so well?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said earlier, it's not the message, it's more so the messenger. So with me, I'm really big on self-talk. Like, I have a very positive outlook on everything I'm going to do. And just for people in general, whether you're into podcasting or presentations or whatever the case may be, because you have the product, but then you also have the presentation of the product, right? Delivery, which is very quintessential to the way someone's going to receive what you're talking about. So you have to be an optimistic individual in the sense that your self-talk needs to be, they're going to love this, they're going to like this, they're going to really appreciate that. A lot of people get nervous in front of people talking, whether you're at a podcast situation or whether you're in front of people in a group. So it's okay to be nervous. So I embrace the nervousness. I'm always nervous before I do things. But for me, when I'm nervous, it just shows that I am really into what I am doing and I really care about the result. So if you feel nervous when you're about to do something as an artist, owner, speaker, podcaster, it's okay to feel nervous because that just means you care about how you're being received and perceived. So do not believe there's something wrong with being nervous. And I just know how to say things the right way, delivery, and I become human with people. That's a really big thing. Like, I teach public speakers all the time, authors, and when I say become human, you must be tangible. So if you get in front of a group of people and you can't read the dynamic of your audience and you don't say the right things, it's not gonna work. So let me give you an example. When I go to a school of younger people, I know younger people like rap and they like dance. So the more you have in common with someone, the more people are gonna like you. People like who they are alike. That's a really important thing to understand. So I make comments or I say things that make me a person to them. Like, oh, he likes music the way I like music, or he likes dance or fashion, or he likes things that I like, so now I can understand him a little bit better and now I can resonate with him. And now I become a stronger messenger. So now when I say things, they receive it a lot better. So I'm just really good at reading the room and knowing how to cater to the likes and dislikes of the people around me.
And when you are speaking to the young people, do you use the words bruh and riz?
You know what's funny? I will with them as a joke. And I'll make it a joke because I don't really use those words, but I'll say it in a funny way. Like, for example, I was talking to Ivy Han, Charter School of the Arts in Lake Helen. Really, really good school for anyone that has a kid that's into dancing. You would probably be familiar with that. And I had this whole room full of kids, and a lot of them didn't know me. A good amount did that were in the dance world because I teach a dance over there every now and then. And big shout out to Natalie for letting me do my thing over there. And I made little jokes. Like, this guy was like, this kid was like, yo, are you him? Are you him? And now, if you don't know what that means, him is like a term that people say, like, that they're the guy, they're the best. Like, I'm him. Now, I don't walk around saying I'm him, but I made a joke out of it. So yeah, I'm Hemi Neutron. I'm Hemi Turner from the Himalayas cooking Hemi Dean in the morning, and they ate it up because, oh, he understands our language. Mm-hmm. So now, because I deposited into them, I can withdraw their attention. I can take that because now they're listening to me. I'm not just a person in a suit, you know, talking to them. Now I'm someone that they can relate to. And once it's relatable, the outcome is never going to be debatable. It's going to be exactly what it needs to be. You have to be able to read the room. And that's a tangible, that's an intangible skill set that you have to pick up through communication.
I love that you mentioned that because I have read a lot about that. In order to have your message received, the person has to understand the language that you're speaking. Mm-hmm. If they don't understand the language that you're speaking or it doesn't strike them, then they're not going to be able to receive whatever it is that you're saying. So I love that you mentioned that and the importance of just being able to read the room and get to know who you are speaking with because mm-hmm. that is so important. And one of my favorite things that I've ever seen you do was the rapping carolers. That was so amazing. In fact, my favorite line was, "Yeah, you know how I am. I come to your house and take the holiday ham." It was amazing. So that must have been a really interesting and quite unique experience.
Yeah, no, let me give some context for those that have no idea why she just said that. So we were on the news in Tampa. We were on Fox News, and they gave us a subject on the spot, and our subject was the Grinch. And the Grinch takes the holiday ham. That's why I don't people, oh, why are you rapping about the holiday ham? Because I was the Grinch in that impromptu freestyle rap on live TV. Like, there was no opportunity to mess up or anything like that. So I thought it was pertinent to mention the holiday ham in the name of the Grinch.
It was incredible.
Thank you.
So how did you manage to get that gig?
Oh, thank you for asking. So we had did the caroler gig at the Sparkman Wharf a year prior. That was the first time that we did it. And at its inception, they got a really good reception. They got a really good turnout. People loved it. You know, we did some singing. I don't sing, but we, you know, made it part of the joke, did some singing, did some rhyming. You know, my friend Rubox, he's an amazing beatboxer. He had connected me to the show. So it went so well, they wanted us to come back again, you know, this past December. But this time, because it went so well, they wanted us to go on the news and promote it. And it was just really cool because I have freestyle rap since I was 13 and I'm 36 now, right? It's been over 20 years. And I had never rapped on the news before live. You know, there's a big difference when you know a lot of people are watching you.
Absolutely.
and you don't know what they're gonna say. You know, in fact, it was funny because we were on the news, it was live, and we asked them for characters, Christmas characters, and it's a family event. And we're all thinking they're gonna say something like, you know, like a Santa Claus or a snowman or Rudolph or, you know, whatever. And he said, Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon. I don't know who that, I'm like, I have no idea who that is. But I couldn't look scared on national TV. I'm like, oh, okay. I looked at my friends, so are we doing that? Is that gonna be the name we're gonna go with? And I would have figured it out as we went along, but yeah, thank God. The other woman anchor was like, hey, how about the Grinch? And I was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. We should probably go with the holiday ham guy for sure. But yeah, it was a great time.
That's amazing. If you enjoy the Miss Biz podcast but still have questions or need advice, we have some exciting news for you. Join us for Miss Biz Connects. Miss Biz Connects is a weekly one-hour Zoom call on Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is 1 hour each week dedicated to you. We want to meet you and put our brains together to help you grow personally, professionally, and spiritually.
To access the meeting link, visit us on our social media pages at Miss Biz Podcast or send us an email to missbizpod@gmail.com.
Join us this Friday and let's grow the Miss Biz Nation.
So our listeners, they're all business owners, mm-hmm. and finding time for balance is absolutely crucial and oftentimes is a struggle. And then I look at you with such a dynamic skill set. I mean, you are a rapper, a stuntman, you teach You teach a lot of different things, actually.
Yeah.
You help with credit repair. Like, you do so much.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, in terms of, like, our audience and our listeners, what advice would you give them for basically juggling multiple different careers or talents or avenues?
Understood. Be very intentional with your time. Be very intentional in the regard of you want to write things down. So, like, from 11 to 1, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. You know, from 2 to 4, you're going to do A, B, C. And I know that sounds really regimented, but you have to do that, because if you are whimsical, especially when you are a business owner, you have a very different life at that point, because people that work 9 to 5, they know that the shift begins at 9, it ends at 5. It's a very, very, you know, straightforward, black and white ordeal. When you are someone that has a 9 to 5 and you're working in your own business, or 5 to 9, if you will, or you're just straightforward working from, you know, your own, you know, thing, you have your own LLC, like myself, you need to be very intentional about your free time. So you have to physically write down, from this time to this time, you do nothing, or you hang with your kids, or you go outside and take a walk, or you read a book, or you watch a TV show. There's this thing that I had for a very long time, and that was, you know, you have to work, and that's why I even got the different talents that you just mentioned. You know, I'm all over the place, but it was never meant to be that way. I just kept learning, and I continue learning, and as I learn something, I monetize it. If I know how to do something good, I monetize it. Like, I literally, as I sat down at this table, I got a message before we started asking me to teach dance to senior citizens for an hour. And again, that was never a thought for me, but now that I know how to teach kids and stuff like that, it translates into other things. And that came from me doing a radio show similar to this. So, which goes back to what I was saying earlier, people have to know you and have word of mouth, and they have to like you as well. But to the question again, be very intentional. From this time to this time, I'm doing this. And you should also have that same regard to your craft. Like, I'm gonna read a book, like you were saying earlier, on communication. From this time to this time, I'm gonna do social media marketing. From this time to this time, I'm gonna have a meeting. From this time to this time, and keep writing out your days until you feel like you can manage it within your own comprehension without having the additional assistance of a calendar or a mix of meeting maker or a planner. But you have to be very intentional with what you're doing, because the day goes like this. And before you know it, you're tired. Especially if you're a really hard worker, you might just pass out. You might be someone that just is working, and you just fall asleep randomly. So you don't really want that to be a thing. You want to make sure you're intentional. Also for your health. Health is wealth. You know, you have to look out for yourself. It could be workouts. It could be eating healthy. It could be cooking for yourself. Like, I cook for myself now. Never been that way before. You know, I was very proud of myself. I made eggs the other morning, and I was very proud of that, because I'm not someone that does that in the morning. You know, I'm more of a, I eat like food like that at night. Like, I eat French toast at 1 o'clock in the morning, but I got up, it's like 6:40, I made my eggs, I made my French toast. I was very intentional with that, and now it's in my routine. So, you know, just little wins like that, and just making that part of your routine is very important.
That's great advice, to really be intentional about what your plans are, what your goals are, and you're much more likely to accomplish it if you have it planned out and you're intending to do it. As I'm listening to you speak, I can tell you're just very quick-witted on your feet, and being a freestyle rapper, you have to be able to think quickly and come up with rhymes and things like on the top of your head. Yeah. Have you always been that way, or is that something that you have developed over the course of time? Because I think it's a really valuable skill when you're trying to connect with your audience, to be able to think quickly and translate that into the words you're speaking.
I love that you brought that up, and that's a great observation. So yeah, when I teach motivational speaking, public speaking, I actually make them rap. And obviously a lot of them don't care for rap, right? Because they don't like that, they don't like rap, but they don't see themselves as a rapper. And I tell them what you just said. I said, you're looking at it wrong. It's not about you going on a microphone and saying yo, 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 and making an album. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to learn how to be quick in the same breath. For people that want to be speakers on any avenue, you should take improv classes. It's not really about rapping, it's about just being able to think on the spot. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, no, I was not like that. I actually, to this day, still stutter, and I stuttered worse when I was younger. And I used to get made fun of for trying to rap when I was younger, which is the whole irony of my life in general, because now those people are like, oh, you know. And it took a while, but in my situation, not to get too deep into it, I was put in a place where I wasn't really fond of the life that I was living, and I had got injured, which threw off my martial arts, which threw off my sports. Believe it or not, I know I look kind of small, but I was a captain of a basketball team, captain of a football team, captain of a baseball team. I was always really talented in sports, and I was a part of really good teams that became championship teams. So with that all being said, when I hurt myself, well, I didn't hurt myself, but when I got hurt, and that all kind of got stripped away from me at the same exact time, it was like, wow, I didn't have anything else to do. So I was pushed into a different avenue, and that avenue became music and rhyming. But for me, rhyming was more so being heard, because I was so afraid to speak, whether it was because of my stuttering, people making fun of how I spoke, people saying that I have bad breath. It was a whole bunch of stuff when I was a little kid. So it was a liberating thing for me. And then the more I got better, or the better I got at it, the more liberated I felt, it was like positive reinforcement to keep getting better at it. And then I just kept rapping and rapping, and it wasn't good, right? Just make stuff up. But then I got to the point where I could do metaphors and similes, what we call punchlines, back to back to back to back to back to back to back every two lines, or for everyone, for anyone that knows about hip hop or music, every two bars. And that was a very smart investment on my part, but it wasn't something I was conscious of, but it came back full circle, because that's what I do now. And if I wasn't able to do that, I wouldn't be able to do the newest thing or be a part of my group that I'm a part of called Free Daps, where we freestyle over the world. You know, we were just in Italy performing for the Navy on the largest ship in the world. Yeah, and it was unbelievable. Thank you. And it came from the ability to do that. We're on the sea heading toward Turkey, and I feel like I'm in the Top Gun movie. Like, we literally came in like on a cod, and you know, snap with the metal seats and the gloves and the goggles and the hat. It was really insane, and I was there because of freestyle rap. You know, and for anyone that is watching this podcast and listening, it's not a derogatory or negative thing. We don't curse. We don't curse, so it's like we do it for kids in libraries, we do it for adults, we do it for people at SAC Comedy Lab in Orlando every couple of months. We do it all over the world, in colleges, for the military, showcases. I was at a debate at the Civic Center not too long ago, a few months ago, and again, just the fact that that is something I chose to do, I did not realize the bigger picture, and speaking was one of them. I'm very comfortable talking in front of people because of rap.
I absolutely love that story. That is so inspiring, to be able to not only overcome, but then kind of like just prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, that's a little satisfying.
Yeah, selfishly. It's very satisfying. I actually just saw something on the internet that said, the best thing that ever happened to me was when you told me that I couldn't, and I said, "Watch me."
Yeah, I don't know who said this quote, but this person said the best motivational speeches you're ever gonna hear are gonna come from people telling you what you can't do. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, you can't tell me what I can't do. I take that personal. Mm-hmm. I take that very personal. I'm like, okay. Then I go home like a madman and figure it out. Like, I remember I started walking on stilts randomly. I just, like, a random skill, so I could walk on peg stilts.
That is so cool.
Just because. But that's another avenue of money. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. You make in 15 minutes, and you're just walking on gigantic pogo sticks. I just have that in the back of my head if I ever need it. So always learn, always keep going. And like you said, this is very satisfying. When you overcome, you need struggle. Mm-hmm. Without struggle, there's no victory.